Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Primetime with Isaac Ensu.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'm going to be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Primetime with Isaac Ensu.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
That's right. Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan. We are here for you.
Felt like that might have been the ball game. Georgia down by 13. 9 minutes to go, fourth and a couple from inside the red zone. They go for it and
do not get it.
Do not get it. And now you're still down two scores under 10 minutes. That might have been their last chance.
Notre Dame in this game scored 17 of their 23 points in 54 seconds.
Yep.
What is it? The middle eight they always talk about?
Yep.
They got a fumble and a touchdown in the...
In the middle two.
But it really was kind of the middle two, wasn't it?
Or middle three,
it wasn't even the middle. It was like a middle minute.
I mean, no one's really put together any drive. The best drive of the game was when Georgia went on a 12-play, 71-yard drive, but then fumbled the ball at Notre Dame 13.
Notre Dame is saying, hey, Gunnar Stockton beat us, and he can't. He can't.
No.
Which is probably what you would have expected Notre Dame to do.
Yeah. I just thought if you would have told me that Notre Dame, their leading rusher had 65 yards and it was their quarterback, I would say Georgia wins this game. But
well, special teams, Teddy.
Yep.
And two turnovers.
Two turnovers.
I mean, there's your difference right there. Yep. By the way, you were talking about all the great Ohio State wide receivers.
Yeah, there's so many.
We missed so many.
There's so many more.
Somebody brought up David Boston.
Yeah.
Remember what a badass that guy was?
Oh, Michael Thomas before he got hurt in the NFL. Michael Thomas
Olave.
Was
ridiculous.
Chris Olave, who's hurt, but was doing really well in
New Orleans.
I don't
think you mentioned him. Harrison Jr. Terry Glenn comes up a lot on the text line.
It's an absurd amount of players. I don't think that there's another university that can match them for wide receiver U. Alabama in recent times has put together some scary groups, but that's wide receiver U. And so as a freshman to get labeled by the way, Joey Galloway.
Yeah.
Joey Galloway even said, this is the best kid that I've ever seen at Ohio State. So when other Ohio State receiving greats are calling you that as a true freshman, just look out, and we got another year of having to deal with that kid before he can go on and be the top pick in the NFL.
Galloway is an analyst.
Yeah, he does a good job.
I think he's solid.
Good.
Yeah. And they keep him. They just keep him in the studio mostly. Yeah, I mean, he was out there.
He was out on the field.
But he's just he's really good. Way better than Desmond Howard.
Can we just?
They should put Galloway on College Game Day. By the way, did you see Lee Corso's teeth?
No, I wasn't trying to pay attention,
dude.
To that. Is it getting bad?
I don't know.
He's like 1,000 years old.
I know he is.
Wait, what was going on with his teeth?
Well, they put him back on there, and they just keep propping his ass up. And he had some recent health issues. I don't know what happened with him. And, of course, we know he had the stroke a while ago. But now he's missing the bottom part of his, I guess if you're looking at him, his right, from the middle part of his mandible
gone.
Over, his teeth are gone.
Oh, what?
Yeah, I see it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well...
So I don't know what happened.
Why do they have
to keep trotting him out there?
Well, because he wants to.
I guess.
Tell him like say goodbye and have a nice little. I don't know.
Dude, I've been saying this
for a nice send off. It's been time for like 8 years.
I've been saying this for years, and it's not going to happen. So it's not worth griping about. But it's just embarrassing. It's awful.
Yeah, it's not. It's not good. So I don't pay any attention. I did enjoy. I guess some people didn't realize what was going on. So the Fiesta Bowl bled into the Rose Bowl, right? Because of the overtime. So I was flipping back and forth between ESPN and ESPN2, which is where they started the Rose Bowl. And I was like, God, come on. So I'm trying to bring it up on my phone. And luckily the overtime ended pretty quickly. So you only missed, if you were waiting to flip over, you only missed the first Ohio State drive. But I was kind of going back and forth. And then right after that, ESPN2 cut to the Pat McAfee broadcast on ESPN2, like the megacast, and then the regular game went back to ESPN. I don't think a lot of people realize that, and McAfee was cursing, and it just it's a terrible broadcast. Like, he has it's like amateur hour.
It's like him and his stooges just live watching the thing.
Yes, yeah. Pretty much. And I guess a lot of people didn't realize that the game was back on ESPN.
So they thought they were just stuck with that as their only option?
They thought they were just stuck with that. And people were like tweeting, like, what the hell is this? They didn't figure out what was going on. And someone was like, people on Twitter kept pointing out, dude, just go back over to ESPN. That's the normal broadcast. But I had that for a second. I was like, what are they? I was like, oh, yeah, they probably went back to the other one.
Well, let's take a break because now we're behind.
Yeah.
And we need to talk about my Arizona State Sun Devils.
Hell of an effort.
Almost pulling off the upset of your Texas Longhorns.
Dude, fourth in forever, how do you get beat behind when you're
they did a cover zero full blitz thing. That's one of the dumbest. And dude, well, we'll talk about it, but Kenny Dillingham after the game,
he's got a dog mentality.
He said that was a call he wanted back.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't believe it when they got behind everyone. I just sat there and was like, I can't believe that just happened.
We'll get to that game next on The Fan.
He's got a dog mentality.
Well, at least we got one good college football playoff game.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, like, the Boise State, I'm going to push back on that. Mm. The Boise State game was fine.
No, it wasn't.
This Notre Dame-Georgia game is okay. It's okay. But the highlight was Texas and ASU.
Yeah, I don't think okay. I don't know. I don't think either of those are
I would say this round has not lived up to the
You didn't think the Boise game was intriguing?
There were points in it where it seemed like a game, but overall we looked at these four matchups and said this is going to be awesome, and it's been kind of okay.
But Texas-Arizona State
was great.
Was a flamethrower.
But that's just
and
one
it didn't look
four.
Like it at the beginning. It was Everyone so was like, oh, 17-3, game's over.
Well, it's classic Sark trying to lose with a massive talent advantage. I mean, they are unbelievable. I don't know how.
You just have no faith in them.
They are so talented, and they continue to try to lose.
Yeah.
And yet they win because they're so talented. It's maddening.
Yeah.
What the hell?
I have a... I'll tell you what. If that's the Ohio State team that shows up, they'll beat Texas by 30.
Yeah,
but watch now, Texas.
I don't know.
Drop them and give Ohio State anything they can handle.
Texas is really, really talented. You should not overlook them for that reason. It's just that I think when it comes down to it, in the end, you don't trust them. I don't think you can trust Stark or Ewers. We've been saying that all year. But at the same time, here they are.
Yeah.
And they're 6-point underdogs to Ohio State. That's an awful high spread, dude.
Well, it's just it goes off of the fact that they got lucky to pull one out against ASU, and Ohio State looks like the last 2 weeks, Ohio State
again,
looks like the Death Star.
But this is the whole adage of bet numbers, not teams.
Sure.
And I know the whole world is going to pile on Ohio State because of what you just said. And I'm here to tell you, I bet you that game goes down to the wire.
Yeah.
Because it's just it's there's talent all over the football field.
Yes, there is.
On both sides.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that if there's any team that can slow down Ohio State, it might be Texas. I don't know if they can beat them because they'll have a dumb penalty or a stupid turnover because they always do.
Yeah.
But that team is as talented as Ohio. Well, I don't know if there's. I think they might be as talented as Ohio State. I mean, if you go man for man, it's pretty close.
Yeah, it's
probably the second most talented team in the tournament.
Yes, it's the second most talented team in the
Texas.
Tournament. I don't know if they have. I mean, obviously, Jared, the receiving core for Ohio State is pretty special in the two backs. But, Texas is really, really stinking good, which is why I'm surprised that Arizona State, especially after falling behind early, Arizona State just kept chugging. And
you got to give them a lot of credit.
And Texas's offense could do nothing. I mean, Arizona State's defense, and I was like, all right, eventually they're just going to get worn down, and Scataboo's over there throwing up, and Arizona State doesn't have their best receiver. He's out with a broken collarbone. And, Levitt wasn't playing a great game or anything like that, and his best plays were just moving around with his legs. In fact, when they gave up that, was it like 4th and 12, and he scrambled for that thing in overtime, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe Texas just gave that up. They're going to lose this game. I just thought the Texas defense got gassed at the end because they were on the field so damn much.
So fourth and what was it, 13?
Fourth and 13 was the Ewers one.
Down 7 in overtime.
Yep.
And they run a cover 0. They all out blitz.
Yep.
He switches to max protect. They protect him great. And he goes over the top. That, I'm sorry, dude.
Yeah.
When can't let that happen.
You cannot let, well, you can't call that. When
yes,
you're, when
that's
you're,
right.
You, they need 12 yards,
yeah.
You win the game. 11 yards, you win the game. 10 yards, they get 10 yards, you win the game. The only thing you can't do is put, is let them have a, let them get in the end zone. And so the only real way, if you're playing sound defense, that they're going to get in the end zone, well, there's actually two. One is that, and you called it. And two, it's somehow somebody falls down or they just scramble and get in. But that's not likely to happen if you give them something over the middle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So why the hell do you call that?
I don't know.
That's the dumbest. Kenny Dillingham's great. I love him. That was the dumbest call of the whole tournament.
Well, and the fact, too, that you only had three guys go out in that route for Texas. Not one of them ran anything under like a 15 to 20 yard route. Arizona State had two guys playing underneath for some reason with their thumbs planted somewhere. And for whatever reason, the safety in the middle of the field, who the one job he has when you're in that look and you're playing the only safety in the middle of the field, the one thing you can't do is what? Get beat behind you. And yet somehow you bite on the worst little fake route that the slot guy had, who was going outside anyways, and you get the ball thrown over. I could not believe it.
Yeah, yeah. It feels like a bad play call on, and then on top of it, bad football execution.
I just was sitting there, and as I watched that ball go over his head, I thought to myself, oh my God. Like, they're going to watch film, and that poor guy, and I don't know who he was, whoever the safety was for Arizona State, is just going to sit there. And I've been, unfortunately, in these sort of situations where the coach is going to look at him and say, what were you doing? And his answer is going to be, I don't know. Because there's just no reason for it. You have one job, and you didn't get it done. And it is absolutely heartbreaking because Arizona State had that game. Now, to be fair, Texas is going to Texas. They have one of the best kickers in the country, and he decides to go all Jake Moody on
Bert.
Which one's going to kill their kicker first, Kyle Shanahan or Steve Sarkisian? I think they're probably on some sort of therapy call together.
Shanahan.
I mean, it's just... like, that's one of the best kickers in the country, and he can't close that game out. I mean, that's just Texas. Just Texas did not want that game, and Arizona State, like, everyone was pulling for it, and just fourth and 13, and you give that up. Oh my gosh, that's bad. And then, you know, there's the targeting call as well, which was targeting. Absolutely.
So I still don't know why it wasn't called targeting.
I think that was one of those, and this is why, like, going back to that first Oregon Ohio State game. Normally in that situation, I think refs tend to swallow whistles because I don't think they want the game decided on it. But dude, that's targeting.
Well, but they reviewed it, so
yeah,
it's not.
I mean, surprised.
Didn't they throw the flag on it? So they reviewed it. Or maybe they didn't.
I don't think they threw the flag
on it. But they had to review
it. They had to review it.
And the fact they reviewed it and didn't call it when it was textbook, I just didn't understand.
It was weird because they call targeting on anything. In college, they're just looking to do it. And on the end of the Quinn Ewers interception, which again, Texas, what are you doing? Just don't turn the ball over and you win the game.
And
Quinn Ewers is like, nah, I want to put this one up into the middle of double coverage and a cover two look, see what happens. I couldn't believe they didn't call the targeting on the one where Arizona State 100% should have been targeting. But they didn't call the other one either, where I think it was Isaiah Bond came across and on the interception. The other safety comes through and forearms him in the chops, defenseless receiver, and bends him backwards. I was like, oh God, that's coming back. And they didn't do anything. They were like, nah, it's fine. There were two big targeting calls in a sport where they love to call targeting that clearly looked like targeting, and they didn't call either one. I was really surprised.
It's weird. Very weird.
And that either one of those, by the way, could have tilted that game, but I mean, that's not why this game was decided. It just was kind of one of those weird, odd anomaly things where I really thought at least the one, if not both of those, 100% should have been called.
But the targeting, the middle of the field targeting there on Arizona State's last drive, that might have been the game. I mean,
I know
their kicking game sucks,
but it would have given them an opportunity because it 100% should have been a first down.
Yes. I loved Jake Plummer just fanboying out on the sideline.
His ripped t-shirt.
I thought that was great. He's an old hippie.
Yeah.
He's probably on shrooms. That's
dropping
his new business, right?
F-bombs down there. And who was that play-by-play guy? He was awful.
I don't know who was calling that game.
You didn't notice how he was like, bah!
Yeah, I just
how much do you love ball?
Yeah, I just don't remember who it was on the call.
Ugh. Tone it down, fella.
I'll look that up.
He's an over-broadcaster. That guy there.
Let's see who we got.
I'll wait here.
Oh, for God's sakes. Now we're getting into some weird... Apparently there's a... There's
play-by-play porn?
No. When I typed in Texas
sounds
ASU
like Tessitore.
Broadcast team, somehow I brought up the staff directory for the MSU Mustangs Athletic Department. Not really sure why that is, but...
Yeah, confirmed it was Joe Tessitore.
You need to work on your Google game.
What should I have Googled besides Texas ASU broadcast team?
Well, I'm just saying. There's an art to it.
I Googled Texas Arizona State play-by-play announcer.
There you go. That's it.
That was better.
But I first just did play-by-play, and it started giving me the list of plays from the game, so that didn't...
Is Joe Tessitore really well-liked? I think he might be. He's like one of the... Yeah. I thought he was way too over the
this
top.
This headline, Joe Tessitore was the MVP of the Texas-Arizona State thriller.
Puke. Scataboo puke.
Said he was feeling sloshy.
Scataboo. Can I also point
out... Yeah, what is it? Why was he puking?
He said he just drank too much water.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he was feeling sloshy.
Yeah. Who knows? He's hungover.
Probably the roids.
Apparently, he was accused of being hungover, and he didn't take kindly to that on Twitter today because he said he doesn't drink.
And by the way, I was just joking.
No, I know.
Hey, jerk.
Someone else on Twitter said that about him, said there was a photo of him from the night before, and he's like, I was with my family at 8:30, and I don't drink.
I would like to point out, because that guy's such a great story, and... He didn't get it going till the end, but he's throwing touchdowns. He's catching passes. Dude, that guy is an absolute beast. He will not be a good NFL player. So just let me just plant my flag.
Look at you pooping right all over Scataboo.
Well, like I saw people like, oh, first round. No, no.
Yeah, I saw someone say what a great fit he'd be for the Niners. I'm like, no.
So he had 30 carries, 143 rushing yards.
Dude's awesome.
Two rushing tutties. He had 8 catches, 99 receiving yards, and a 42-yard passing touchdown.
That guy's awesome.
At one point in the fourth quarter, I think they said Scataboo had more yards than Texas.
Yes.
He won the MVP for the game on the losing team.
Yeah, he was out gaining them. And he did it all while either was battling dehydration or illness or whatever, and you could tell that he didn't have his stamina. He kept having to pull him out. And there was one point where Dillingham was kind of patting him on the head, and when they were down by 16, it kind of felt like Dillingham was like, yeah, we don't have
like
it.
Like, you don't have to do this?
And he just kept going back out there. You know, and then the one play where the left guard picked him up and threw him into the end zone, baller-ass play by 77. It's freaking awesome. Dude, even on the play where they got stuffed at the goal line, which led to the safety, for whatever reason, Arizona State decided to not block the defensive end on a fourth and one, which I can't say I've ever seen before in my entire life. Do you know the play of which I'm speaking?
No, I don't remember.
It was the one where Arizona State did not convert on the fourth and one or fourth and two from like inside the five. And that was the play where Texas got it. And then they got the safety, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Arizona State got stuffed. It was the one where Scataboo got stuffed on the fourth and whatever. Literally the two, Arizona State was in a goal line formation and they blocked down and literally left the defensive end in a goal line situation unblocked. Mm. And he came through and hit Scataboo untouched. I have never seen a goal line situation where a team just is like, hey, you know what? Just not going to block this guy. Unbelievable. Again, just that's kind of the weird part of these games is that's just...
Yeah, it's all the variants.
It's all the variants. Yeah. And I guarantee they're going to go back and watch film, and they're going to ask the left guard and tackle, and they're going to say, excuse me, guys. The hell is this? And they're going to say the same thing as the safety.
I think we have a clip of them saying it. Are you ready?
Yeah. Oh, exactly. And it's the worst feeling to be in that meeting when you don't have an answer for what the hell you're doing. In one of the biggest moments of the game, you just put your head up your arse.
I think this is what that sounds like in the meeting.
See, we have exclusive audio here.
It's so bad. That doesn't really happen a lot in the NFL, but it does happen in college football. And when you go back and watch these games, or if you pay attention to line player little intricacies, sometimes you just realize they're not professionals, even though they're getting paid now. And sometimes they just do really, really dumb things.
Is that one last thing here? That little play where the offensive lineman picked up his running back?
Yeah.
No, he picked up Scataboo.
Yeah, picked up Scataboo.
And threw him into the end zone?
Yeah.
Does that open up the idea of a new offense in college football where the fat guys just go back and pick up their running back? And
it used to be illegal.
Someone on the YouTube saying it still is illegal.
That that
should have been called.
You can push. You're not supposed to be able to.
Dude, he picked him up.
You're not supposed to be able to pull.
Well, that's what I thought. When I was watching that, I'm like, I didn't know you could do that.
I feel like it never gets called, though, even if it does happen.
Let's create a new offense.
Look, he was stopped, and he just kind of grabbed him and fell backwards, and then, like, Scataboo landed on his big fat belly, and then he kind of rolled into the end zone. It was awesome.
Scataboo.
Yeah, and they kept showing his dad, who looks just so bro-y, and he's a great story for college football, but my guess is, if he was wise, he should try to get another year because he's going to make more money in college than he will in the NFL.
Well, we said this the other day, and I think the world was rooting for Arizona State.
Yes.
I will say, though, if Kenny Dillingham, Sam Levitt, and Cam Scataboo were on Georgia,
we would hate them so
or Ohio much. State or Texas, we would absolutely hate them.
Yes.
They would be the villains of college football.
Yes.
But they're not.
They're not.
They're on little old Arizona State, so we like them.
And also, be careful with the ASU thing because it was such a cool story, but I've seen because all the players are like, we're coming back. We run the Big 12 and we're back. And, you know, look no further than TCU. TCU got to the national title game and yeah, they got bludgeoned by Georgia, but they beat Michigan to get there. And it was the same thing, right? They came back as like a preseason top 10 team. What has TCU done? So the ASU sleeping giant thing, like, this was a great year. Look at how many one-score games went their way, right? They had a lot of good fortune, and it was a hell of a season. Just be careful with it. Like, they're going to rank ASU next year in probably the top 10 or 12 to start the season. And if you had to ask me right now,
fade them.
Does ASU make the college football playoff, or does ASU have four losses next year? I'll tell you right now, knowing nothing about what they have coming back, I will take the ASU has four losses.
I'm with you.
Before I'll say they make the college football playoff. I hope I'm wrong because it's a great story, but we see this in college football where someone puts together a really fun season and then we're like, oh, look out for these teams. And then they kind of have a tendency to.
Well, and after the SMU thing this year, they're not going to put. That they're not going to put a second Big 12 team again,
probably.
So you probably have to win the whole conference again to get there again.
It's hard.
Well, guys, Notre Dame is closing out Georgia, and it's time to turn the channel to a real sport, the century.
Play some golf. Shooter McGavin.
I've just turned it to Sepp Straka putting for birdie on 14.
Get ready for Notre Dame, Ohio State, in the national championship.
The season
Gold
is here.
Gold jacket, green jacket, who gives a
All right, In the News is next on The Fan. Well, hello there. Nice to have you along. Hope you guys are having a good little 2025.
Unless you're a Georgia fan.
Yeah, they're done.
They are done. Notre Dame moves on.
23-10.
Some of us that had Notre Dame money line. Go ahead. Put a little green in our pocket.
Some of us had Notre Dame in the under. A little more green in the pocket, too.
Couple of bet braggers here. Bet you won't tell us about your losses, will you?
Well, I didn't bet on the. I did not bet on the Oregon Ohio State game. I did not have a good enough feel about that. I do have a sweet little +800 line on Notre Dame winning the whole thing.
Ooh.
But I don't think they're gonna win the whole thing.
But if they get there, you can hedge.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't like to hedge.
I know
hedges.
But if they play Ohio State, I'll tell you what.
If they play Ohio State, there's going to be a hedge because they're not beating Ohio State.
It is December 31, 2024. It's time for It is January 2nd.
There you go.
2024 is 20.
Nope.
Ah!
Nope.
Let me start over.
There you go.
Let me start over, guys. Do we have a record scratch?
No, but I can get one.
It is January 2nd, 2025. It is time now for In the News. I am your noted newsman. Off to a very rockin' start. It's brought to you by The Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Changes in my notes here. Hold, please.
Waiting.
I didn't update my notesies.
What happens?
Well, your last show of 2024, you emptied out the ITN notes, and they were going all the way back to January.
I know. With that. Yeah, we got a fresh slate on ITN.
Yeah, starting all over.
In the news here. Actually, I have one left over from the break.
What's that?
I don't know. I don't think I'm going to get to it.
I can't find it.
It's that whole bit about letters asking people to track undocumented immigrants. Did you see that?
What?
Over the break?
No, but I...
Well, would you like me to present the story to you then?
No, dude, I can't do the undocumented thing. I'm over it. Thank you.
You're over the illegals?
Well, I just, you know, in light of everything that happened, and yet we're still somehow yelling about the border, even though they're both U.S. citizens from the military, I just...
Oh, you're talking about Vegas and the...
Yeah. Yeah, they're both born and raised in the United States, and one was a former, one is an active duty military guy, and yet somehow we're still screaming about the border.
Well, there was a thing in Lincoln County, or Lincoln City, where the sheriff... was contacting the FBI because they were concerned about letters circulating out there that they were being placed on cars and stuff, where people were being asked to write down the license plate numbers of possible undocumented immigrants.
Because what could possibly go wrong there?
Well, I mean, you know, it's just the idea that, aha!
Ah.
You look undocumented.
Gotcha.
Like, how would you know?
My mom was an undocumented.
Yeah. So it's basically just profiling.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. What could possibly go wrong?
At any rate, we don't need to cover that.
You look suspicious.
Well, you look... I don't know.
I've been told I look suspicious plenty of times.
Well, you do.
Someone once told me to look less threatening.
How'd that go for you?
Not sure what I'm supposed to do.
You know how
do?
You could do that?
What?
Shave your beard, keep the mustache, wear a toupee. You would look far less threatening.
That is probably true.
It's easy.
It's probably. Yeah, I like it. Cover up some tattoos. We're good to go.
It is National Swiss Cheese Day.
You know.
Much like the Oregon defense.
Hey-o.
Not a big... I got nothing against Swiss cheese, but there's just so many better cheeses.
I love Swiss, but that is true.
Swiss is kind of mid.
Swiss is mid, but I really love it.
It's good on the right things, but you can do a lot better.
I think the only time I throw a Swiss is sometimes I'll throw a Swiss like on a French dip, and that's all right, but, you know. Mm-hmm. Why would I have Swiss when I can have a creamy Havarti?
Mm-hmm.
A sharp white cheddar, anybody?
It is also National Buffet Day.
Try to avoid the buffets.
Why on earth would you avoid a delicious buffet?
No one has ever left a buffet and thought to themselves that was a great life decision. It's never happened. In the history of buffets.
I beg to differ.
You usually leave and it's the same thing. Oh my God, what did I just do?
There's some people that waddle out of there real happy. And you know it.
It's so bad.
Portland's new government is here beginning today.
All right.
Did you know that?
With less power for the fearless leader.
Yeah.
No toll Tina.
Well, she's the governor.
Well, she's
this
the governor.
Is Portland.
Yeah, the new mayor, I guess. Yeah, that we've now given more authority to the city council.
It's expanded, so there's now 12 people on the council, and then there's a council person / manager model type thing. Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of confusing. There's a city administrator, and then 6 deputies oversee the bureaus and departments, where it used to be the mayor that oversaw the bureaus and departments. I don't know.
So basically, we've neutered the mayor.
I mean, yeah, but there's 12 of them, so he's the deciding vote if they tie, which apparently they tied all day today because they were voting for who the president and the vice president are.
We can't
of
get
the
an
council.
Odd number in there to make it so there's no ties?
That's what I thought. I'm like, why would you do 12? That's dumb. But then I guess they have the mayor, so he gets to come in over the top rope and lay down the gauntlet.
Drop down the Macho Man elbow.
But anyway, that began today, and apparently it's already been a mess.
Oh.
So.
All right, then. Feeling great. I'm going to be cautiously optimistic. Every time I hear the new mayor talk, you know, I want to give him a chance. Seems like he seems like a reasonable human being. It's not anyone can ask for is a rational human being.
Well, I mean, I think Ted Wheeler was a rational human being. It's just that, you know,
true.
You get into the weeds with all these, you know, it's, anyway.
You know what? That's a...
Portland's a tough city to make
it's
happy.
It's a tough one, yeah. Yeah, I don't know how many people could take that job and really be effective.
I'm rooting for Keith. Isn't it Keith Wilson?
Keith Wilson.
Rooting for
I love that name.
Keith Wilson. Mayor Keith Wilson. Let's go, Keith.
Keith's a great name.
Don't get a lot of Keiths. We're moving on to the Gunners and the Archers and people like that.
Apparently there's a styrofoam ban in Oregon that went into effect, but many business owners don't even know about it.
Yeah, but if you're like a Sonic out there, no more styrofoam cups. Which I don't see many of the styrofoam containers anymore, but...
Yeah, there aren't many that you do use them, so...
No. That's the only one I can think of is Sonic has the styrofoam, like when you go get like a slushie there. But everyone else, I haven't seen a, unless you're buying like cheap hot cocoa.
Well, I think sometimes you get the really cheap styrofoam to-go containers.
See, I don't even see those anymore.
Maybe from like the Denny's of the world.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe. But no styrofoam, it's out.
But that went into effect today. A lot of business owners are mad. They're like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. Well, follow along. Business owners.
I don't care about the styrofoam. Can we do something about the paper straws?
They're horrible.
Awful.
I just...
You gotta go metal.
Listen, we're all here for the sea turtles. We want things to be okay for them. Right. But there needs to be a better option.
Yeah, the paper straws are no good.
I just go no straw. Like,
I would sooner go no straw than paper.
Then we're just going no straw.
The metal straw is quality.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get one from a business. Yeah.
And I certainly am not going to carry around a metal straw. Like, I'm not carrying that around in my back pocket.
You don't have your little personal straw with you at all times?
You could put it in your little fanny pack. Why not?
I suppose.
It's like a Portlandia bit.
Well, I see everyone now wearing the fanny packs, but they're doing the shoulder. It's like a fanny pack, but like shoulder style.
That's right. You're no one without one of those.
No.
All right. Well, the people didn't listen to us last night, Jace.
No.
Nope.
Got a little rowdy.
Got a little rowdy out there. A
couple people too rowdy.
We will get to that next on In the News on The Fan. All right, nice to have you along. It is In the News for January 2nd, 2025. We were pleading with you to be careful last night. Be smart, be safe. You know, all those things.
Or was that 2 nights ago?
Yeah, it would have been 2 nights.
Or 2 nights ago, sorry. Tuesday. Well, you were not.
No.
You did not heed our advice.
No.
Particularly up there in Sooke's neck of the woods where it's Thunderdome.
It does tend to be Thunderdome out there in the Couve.
Police said officers made 16 arrests for impaired driving on New Year's Eve.
You know what? Honestly, I think that's actually lower than I would.
That sounds kind of low to me.
Yeah.
You know how many there were last year?
How many?
2.
Oh.
No, that's kind of high then.
That's high.
That's right.
It's not good.
Dramatic increase in impaired driving arrests.
Yeah, I would have thought on a night like that, I would have thought 16 would, I don't know. What am I thinking that like 50 people were getting busted for that?
Well, we had a couple of accidents, and then we had another one where a house got hit. I'm always amazed at the cars that drive into homes.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That happened again.
Mm-hmm.
It's exciting.
Well, and we had a couple of people die. You're right over there?
Yeah, I'm just reading. Mm.
Didn't 2 people... I saw in the news, I don't know if that was Portland or Vancouver, but yeah, 2 people died in a fireworks thing. And then in Hawaii...
Oh, fireworks? Or are you talking about drunk driving?
I thought it was a fireworks thing.
Oh, well, how did we get onto fireworks?
Well, just kind of the not being safe thing.
Ah.
And then people in Hawaii, I think, same sort of thing. I think someone's fireworks blew up and caught a house on fire. Like, 3 people died in Hawaii.
Tell you, those roundabouts get dangerous when people are drinking.
The roundabouts are absolutely dangerous, 100%. I got a buddy that lives off of Division, and so going home, I forget what that road is, but you take it like, it's where I get onto 84, and like you go down that, it's like whatever, 20th, I think, and it's like 7 roundabouts, and at night when I'm driving home, it always makes me nervous, because you definitely see some people, because there's a bunch of bars down there, there's a bunch of people that should not be on those roundabouts, that certainly are.
Yeah, they said the first driver was arrested around 5 p.m. and the last one around 4 a.m. In all, 16 drivers arrested. That is a 700% increase from last year. And the head cheese over there at the Vancouver Police Department, Sean Donaldson, said, I'd say for a Tuesday night, even for New Year's Eve, that's pretty remarkable.
Mm.
So way to go, Vancouverites.
Way to get it done out there.
Or Vancouverians,
yeah.
Whatever they call you guys.
I got a buddy of mine that's a state patrolman, and he said he was working. He started his shift at 5 a.m. on, it would have been New Year's Day. And I was asking him, is that like, he goes, yeah, I think most people should be off the road by 5.
Yeah.
He goes, I may get a couple stragglers, but.
That's probably nothing going on.
Yeah.
New Year's morning. 5?
Yeah. So I was like, he goes, yeah, you got to be there for the other shift was going to be where that would, you know. Got to be out there doing the yeoman's work.
That's all we have time for today on In the Nuez from your noted newsman.
Mm-hmm. The first of the new year.
Yep. Well, it's our first one, yeah.
Yeah.
More tomorrow. The Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next. I'll give you the scores from the golf tournament which is really all that matters. You know, the next 2 hours of our show,
we're just breaking it down.
In the club, we're clubbing with golf.
Yeah, we're blowing out the club tonight.
Nice.
We're breaking down the Sentry round one.
Also, we only have an hour and a half left because Chuck's basketball.
What?
It's going to cut into your golf talk. You might need to blow out the hot five at five and get right to the Sentry.
I'm going
to
do a podcast after the show.
Maybe all hot five things are all things from the Sentry.
I love that idea. Fifth at the Sentry right now. Fourth at the Sentry right now. Third. We'll get to the Hot 5 at 5 coming up next on The Fan.